God, I made you just start recording because, like, we always do the podcast before we actually do the podcast. Tell the listeners what we were just talking about.
I know
about,
what
please.
We were talking about. Dax, who was like...
Do you have a crush on Dax?
I might have a crush on Dax. You know one of the things that I love about Dax?
Low-key crush.
He is always talking about, like, how handsome guys are. I mean, he's clearly straight, but he's so, like, comfortable in his masculinity that he'll be like, man, you are so handsome. Like,
yeah. Well, he's also very lovey for a dude, which I appreciate.
We're
talking about Dax Shepard, should mention.
And he does not think of himself as handsome. So I think there's some of those, like, it's like aspirational. When he points out that a guy is handsome, there's a little bit of jealousy.
He's like, oh, Brad Pitt, like what everyone wants to. Yeah,
and you're handsome.
Like, I will
look
say
at that face.
Totally. I feel like Brad Pitt is the one dude that other dudes will be like, yeah, he's hot.
Or Clooney, like those guys.
It's more Brad Pitt for me.
Monica, also on the Dex podcast, she was talking the other day about on dating apps.
Yeah,
she keeps raising the age, like the threshold, like to older men, because she was like, I forget what movie she said she was watching, but Brad Pitt was in it. She was like, wait a minute.
He's getting hotter.
And he's outside of my range. Like, of course I would date Brad Pitt. You know, so she's like,
I don't get it.
I guess he's like in his late 50s now. So, and she was like stopping at 50. So she's like, I got to go to 60 because if Brad Pitt, I mean, I can't
miss out on Brad.
Yeah. And then she's like, and then we interviewed Bill Gates and she was like, I mean, I'd kind of do Bill Gates.
Really?
So she's like, I made my thing older.
Interesting.
So it's really interesting when you think in terms of just number on these dating things. You're like, oh yeah, I don't want anybody over 45. But then you're like, wait a minute. There are these like amazing people that the whole world knows and you know their age.
Right.
So yeah, I thought that was funny.
Well, we're talking about the Armchair Expert podcast and Chip brings this up almost every week.
I love it.
He does. I actually have started listening regularly because you talk about it so much and it is great. And I actually really enjoy the interviews. They have on great guests and Dax himself to me is a great interviewer because he's so human and he connects with people, which I truly, truly appreciate in people. But what we were just talking about before we started recording was which way do you wipe?
Yeah, he had some wiping debate. He wipes forward.
With Jason Bateman, of all people. Yeah. I mean, that's amazing. Okay, he wipes forward.
Yes.
And I said to you, as a girl, that's like asking for a yeast infection. Right. I mean, you learn, like your dad has to learn how to wipe you backwards.
Totally.
As a child.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So which way do you wipe?
Both. I'll do both.
Just depends on the day.
It depends on your mood.
Yeah. You're like, ooh, today I'm in a forward wipe mood.
Yeah, but I think the thing, his argument, and I haven't heard the beginning of it because they revisited this conversation. Uh-huh. So I didn't hear the beginning of it. But I think Dax's argument, if I'm remembering correctly, was like he also uses wipes. So he makes sure everything's like really clean. Mm. And he's like, when you're wiping backwards, he's like, you can hit things that you don't mean to hit.
That's disgusting.
I know. It's really fucking
legit
gross.
Legit. Like a hemorrhoid? Like,
no,
what are you hitting?
No, just like your butt cheek or something. And I don't know.
Oh, like you leave some residue?
Yeah, you might leave a little poop on your butt
cheek.
What
about leaving a little residue on your balls? That
sounds
grosser
to me. But you don't hit your balls. You like lift your balls up.
Y'all lift your balls?
Yeah, you protect them.
Ooh, tell me more.
I mean, if you're going to wipe forward, you have to lift your balls up.
So, okay. You're sitting on a toilet. I'm just trying to get this right visual. You're sitting on the toilet. You have the wipe or the paper in your right hand.
Right.
You take your left hand. You
lift your
balls.
Junk up. Yeah, you lift all your junk out of the way.
Okay. Interesting. I just never thought about that because I don't have to deal with that, obviously. I don't have balls.
Yeah, you don't have balls.
I don't know. Wow,
anymore.
The things. Okay. This is like, this goes back to, I've told you about that time my friend put a picture of me on his Grindr account.
No.
Have I never told you this?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think so.
This was so long ago, and one of my best gays was sitting next to me, and he was like cruising on Grindr, and I was like making fun of him. I'm like, what are you doing? This is so ridiculous. And I was also like, you're at my house. Why are you like cruising? What are you going to do? Invite someone over and hook up in the back? And he was like, let's just put your picture up and see. At the time, I was probably like 28, so I felt very secure in myself. I was like living my best life,
like,
you know, feeling like a little hottie. And so I let him take a picture of me and I put it up just to see what the guy would say. Like, I was just like, okay, fine, whatever. And he wrote back, tranny, ? And I was like, oh, do I look masculine? It never had dawned on me before.
Well, it's not that you look masculine. Okay. It's like they were assuming that you were a guy.
Well,
You were trans.
Well, right. But he wrote back tranny, thinking like, yeah, like I was. And I...
Because they're not used to seeing women. It always shocks me when a woman pops up on Grindr. I'm like,
well, that's what he said.
What are you doing? Like, are you just looking for friends?
It was obviously a joke. Like, oh, yeah, what is a woman?
I don't know.
Maybe
it happens. I also on Bumble will occasionally get a woman. I'm like, what did she check to end up in my feed? You know,
like, maybe she's a trainee.
And it's like,
question
no,
mark.
It's like a legit, I mean, cis woman.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I don't know what to say about that. But anyway, we're big fans of the Dax Shepard podcast, the Armchair Expert. Go check it out. A lot of people ask me, you know, for favorite podcasts, and that's probably the top one right now, I'd say for sure. I usually go, my go-to is Oprah and Brene Brown. But
well, what I like about it is, like, it gets deep, but it's still, like...
Lighthearted
and generally entertainment-focused. But he's still, I mean, he had Bob Woodward on, like...
I know. I want to listen to that
because
one.
Because Monica is a very big part, and I love her.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, they'll do politics. They'll do, like, writers. Yeah. They'll do people that are behind the camera, you know, so...
It's very interesting.
It's really interesting, yeah.
Well, welcome back to Nashville. Thanks. We had a little birthday weekend. What was your birthday like?
It was pretty low-key. I just... was in P-Town for the first time. It was a gay rite of passage.
Which is what? Can you? You're
P-Town
speaking in code here.
It's Provincetown, Massachusetts.
Okay.
And it is the farthest most point on the Cape.
Mm-hmm,
And it's this like quaint little town, like village that the gays love.
I was gonna say, it sounds very gay.
It's been...
I love that.
I mean, it's been like a gay mecca for years and years and years. So,
is it beautiful?
It's really, really beautiful. The weather was not great when I was there. So we didn't... And obviously COVID is... Bars aren't open. And
right.
So we rented a house that was not right in Provincetown. It was a little bit up the road. And I saw some friends and we just... cooked and stayed in the house, and there was the last day where the weather was a little nicer, so we went and had like just walked around and checked out the town.
It's so nice. It's kind of like what we talked about when we went to Asheville. It's like sometimes just the change of scenery, even if you're just going to another house, is so nice right now because I feel personally just like so stuck.
And Massachusetts has they have really heavy restrictions on people traveling there.
Right.
I had to have a negative COVID test, a negative result with a sample taken within 72 hours of me arriving, or I had to quarantine.
I love that, though.
And it was, you know, I ended up having 4 tests last week just because I was like nervous that they one would be late or whatever. So I got one every single day, and thank God I was negative. But I didn't get my results until I'd been there, but I knew I was just going straight to a house and sitting there, so I was technically quarantining. But and everyone that I had friends that came down from north of Boston, and then some friends that drove up from New York, and they all got tested before.
It's the new times. I mean, we're actually having a small get together for you to celebrate this week, and one of our friends organized a group COVID test to make sure that we could all go. I mean, it's not even a lot of people, but it's just like, this is the times right now. It's just safety.
Well,
safety first.
I was talking to a friend last night who has had COVID. She and her boyfriend got it.
Like me.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was like, not only did I have it, but I turned into a super spreader because the day after, I mean, she kind of knows where she probably got it. She went to a concert. And
they have concerts happening right now?
Well, this was a while ago, yeah.
Wow.
I won't say the artist's name for fear of repercussions, but
I think I have a feeling now that you just said that.
She's like, that had to have been where I got it.
Yeah.
And the next day she went to a friend's house and watched football, and she gave it to all 5 of the people.
Well, right, because if you don't know, I mean, that's what I said the very first day that I can look back and go, I think I had symptoms before this, but like where I'm actually looking at, yes, I for sure had symptoms. I went to set because I thought I had food poisoning. And I'm like, I can't miss my job for food poisoning. That's not how my life works. Yeah. So,
but I remember you were really responsible. And the second you found out, you
called
everybody know.
Yeah, but it's so terrible.
That was the point that she was making, which made me feel really good about the fact that we're doing it for a dinner party with us. And it's a small gathering. It's not like we're having...
Yeah, but they're saying that's how a lot of stuff is spreading in these small gatherings.
Yeah, because...
I mean, we have 10 people going to this.
And she said, like... Think about like when you're getting on a plane or going to the grocery store, like you are masked up. You've got your stuff in your car that you spray your hands with when you get when you get back in the car, like you are on your P's and Q's, but then you go over to your friends' houses and you let your guard down, and that's yeah. where it's spreading. So it just, that was a nice reminder that we're like yeah. going about this the right way.
I think so too. And actually the part there where we just kind of breezed over, we have to call everybody. I mean, it's like when you have, like if you had to call someone with an STD yeah. and be like, it's the most terrible thing. And people look at you like you have just called them and you have the black plague. Like you yeah. are just or like
you've sent them to their deathbed.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like, it's just not the thing you want to have to call. So we're still advocating for masks and safety. And I mean, the numbers are like, they're out of control in Nashville.
It's terrifying. And, yeah. And I'm planning on seeing my family. And it's like, aside That's from this dinner, like, I am on lockdown.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. We've changed the things around our house. Like no more restaurants right now. We're kind of just taking a break.
Yeah.
Going back into a little bit of isolation. Well, we are drinking this week. Yeah. I really was not going to drink tonight.
We needed a little unwind.
You know what? This is like literally what happens to me. I said this to you. I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm just drinking more than I like think because I will just... I'll say, no, I'm not going to drink tonight. And then you were like, hey, let's have a glass of wine. I'm like, okay.
It's well, I got to tell you, the only thing this girl can do is drink. I opened her fridge. It's like everything in it is a liquid except for three no, things of hummus
okay.
and some eggs.
The truth is I really have not been staying at my house very much. I've been in this just like lockdown with my boyfriend and his kids again. And so like, I'm never here.
She's got beer. She's got wine.
I have literally every kind of alcohol you would want.
Yeah.
And I have no food. I have 2 packs of hummus.
Three.
And no crackers. There's three.
There's a third one by the eggs.
What a waste. What a waste. I don't even have crackers up in this bitch. This is so bad. This is my thing. He's going hunting this weekend. And I'm like, I'm spending the whole weekend at my house. And
I'm going to eat my hummus.
I'm going to eat some hummus with my fingers. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to go to the grocery and restock my house and actually get shit done around here. It's just, you know, you get in that flow.
Yeah.
Before you know it, you're just staying over every night.
I've moved in.
Anyway, so we are going to go through some listener emails today. I was pleasantly surprised. I texted Chip earlier today and I was like, holy shit, our inbox is exploding. You guys are awesome. And the messages have been rolling in this past week and we're so excited about it. So we have some really good material for y'all today. I wanted to start because we got a ton of messages. I'm not going to read through all of these, and actually a lot of them are really long too, but the topic last week of sex and politics seemed to get a lot of people going because this is a thing. And I think a lot more people than we actually even knew were really struggling with this because the house was divided. I still can't process what that would look like. But here's an email from Katrina, and she tells us about her experience with this. Hey, Kelly and Chip, I want to start by saying that I love the podcast, both Velvet's Edge and At Casual. I found it a couple months ago, and I'm listening back through all the episodes. Every time I feel like I could be having a conversation right along with you and that you both are two of my long-lost friends. I could write in every time, but I don't want to come across like a crazy person, so I hold back. Keep the messages coming, by the way. We love them. If you need to email us every week, bring it on. Anyway, I did want to write in and respond to today's At Casual, specifically about relationships where each person voted for the opposite side. My husband is a Trumpy and he gives me the heebie-jeebies, Trump, not my husband. And this year I voted for Biden. I'm usually fairly moderate and he's conservative, so we usually don't quite see eye to eye. We sometimes can talk politics, but he's usually way more educated on issues than I am because I usually just go on a broad understanding and listen to other things besides the news. My family is pretty far left and I have a trans brother. I am an ED nurse and run a sexual assault nurse program. So obviously I have some pretty strong opinions in today's current climate. He's in law enforcement. This is so fascinating.
Yeah.
And while he did agree this year that there were certain qualities about Trump he didn't love, he was really concerned about what this election would mean for his career and how it would impact our family. Totally fair. When he found out I voted for Biden, he was really upset and felt unsupported. We fought for a little bit, but then were able to calm down and have a rational discussion and understand why I voted how I did. And I understand why he voted how he did. It's honestly been harder dealing with our families who have been extra opinionated this year too, and trying to be a neutral couple that bridges the gap. So our marriage will survive this election, although I was worried this spring and summer when tensions started increasing. As for the sex piece, none of this directly affected our sex life, but that could also be that I'm almost at the end of my first trimester of pregnancy. Hello, hormones. So between work and having a toddler at home, by the time we have alone time together, I'm usually trying not to puke or ready to crash. I did feel good enough to feel kind of frisky in the middle of the election, though, and we took the opportunity, and the election was not on our minds at the time. That was kind of long. Thanks for reading and providing great conversation on the drives to and from work. I just thought that was a fascinating dynamic.
Yeah, I mean, that must happen. That must be a fairly regular thing, especially when you look at just numbers, like 78 million to 73 million. There have to be a lot of homes that are divided.
I mean, you would think. And both of them had valid reasoning, I thought, to pick the side that they picked. So it's really interesting. Here's one more from Corinne. Your At Casual podcast this week hit home hard. My husband and I have always been pretty much on the opposite sides politically, but it hasn't been that much of a difference until this year, which is what we talked about. Remember, we were like, it hasn't probably really mattered in the past. But she goes into kind of who they were voting for. And then she says, back in spring, our love life went to shit because I will be honest, it made me sick to be intimate with a man who supports the other side. Well, over the months, there have been long, hard talks with us, some of which included some of the kids. I was more vocal than I have ever been in 44 years about my political thoughts. Many in my family stopped talking to me because of my political views. I will not back down on my beliefs. I felt like Chip does. My family, my life, my kids, my friends are way more important to me than the people that want to be fake, that they like deviled eggs but don't believe that my black children's voices should be heard. Back at the end of October, my husband came home and said, I just early voted and I wanted you to know that I voted for Biden. It's not my first choice, but I cannot stand behind Trump anymore. My kids were floored and my intimate desires are all flooded back into me. He listened. He understood. He realized you can change and it won't kill you. Thank God. So it actually helped them.
I bet he got some that night too.
I bet he did.
Intimate desires.
Okay. anyway, thank you guys for the feedback. I have a ton more of those emails, but just to keep it kind of flowing here, those were the main ones that I thought were really interesting dynamics. Always, if you guys have feedback or like thoughts based on some of the conversations we've had the week before, keep those messages coming because it's fascinating to us to hear y'all's thoughts about what we say.
Totally.
I was like, do you have anything to add to that?
She like looked at me like, you gonna finish that?
I mean, are you gonna say anything?
No, it's
totally.
It's funny too, because it's not like we sit and do a ton of prep for these things often. Yeah. So sometimes it's like, I forget what we talk about unless I go back and listen. And then
also because
like,
you leave here after a couple drinks.
Yeah, true. But I don't really commit those things to memory unless I listen to it again. Uh-huh. So it always blows my mind that people are like listening and even have a reaction to it. So
sometimes I'm like, ooh, I shouldn't have listened back because I forgot I said that. Acting too casual.
Too casual. Too much vino.
Yeah, too much vino. So now let's move into some of the questions we got because there was a couple really, really good ones. This one comes from Grace Boudreau, who, what up, Louisiana girl? It's spelled Boudreau with like the R-E-A-U-X. You know,
Louisiana.
Yeah, only Louisiana people know. Hey, y'all, I'm a Southern girl. My mama raised me to say please and thank you and ma'am and sir to anyone and everyone. I grew up with men taking off their hats in buildings and opening doors for women, not because Southern women aren't strong enough, but because Southern women are plenty strong. It was just a way for men to show respect and women to show grace. I recently went on a date with a guy, and when a single check came, he assumed to split it. I guess I didn't hide my shock because he then went on to say that he thought I was a woman living in the 21st century and would want equality. I typically like for guys to pay on the first date for some reason. For the same reason I like guys to open doors. If he gets dinner, then I'll buy drinks at the next place if he goes somewhere. But even more, his half of the bill was like 65%. I got a dinky salad and an iced tea, and he got a steak and two old-fashioned drinks. Anyway, I acted casual and paid my half. I tipped 20%, and I told him I had cramps and went home to watch Netflix. Am I a bitch or just old school? Or an old school bitch? Ha ha ha. Love y'all. Go Tigers. Go Tigers. Chip, what do you think?
I think she handled it the right way.
You gotta pay if he's
Yeah, you just gotta do your thing and get the fuck out. Because this isn't about like gold digging. It is about just being a gentleman.
Yeah.
And it's especially tough. If you're like, especially if you're gonna go and order a steak and drinks, it's like
100%
buy the salad and the iced tea for the lady.
Exactly. Like she got an ice. She didn't even get an alcoholic drink, which I'm sure she was second guessing once the bill came. But when I read this, I was like, oh, it is that weird thing nowadays because we're asking for equality and we want to be treated as equals. And so honestly, on the first date, I always like take out my purse like I'm going to try to half pay. But I've never been in a scenario where the guy takes it.
And to be like, oh, I thought you were a 21st century girl. Right. She should have looked at him and been like, I thought you were a gentleman.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, it's I do believe in equality and sharing these things. But if you ask somebody on a date,
mm-hmm.
you should just pay for their dinner.
Well, right. It's also, that's a really great point you make. Who asked on the date? Like if he asked her out specifically,
pay for the dinner.
It's just a dinner. Right. Like it's not, hopefully it's not going to break the bank. If it does, then you probably shouldn't have asked her in the first place.
Or suggested a cheaper place.
Yeah. Take her to Denny's, I guess. Yeah. But then she'll probably like walk out too. She'll have really bad period cramps then.
Yeah. She's going to have it coming out of every hole. She's like, I'm puking and shitting.
Which
and
way do
I
you think
cramps.
She'll wipe though? That's the question.
She's just got to get in the shower after that. There's no wiping necessary.
Straight to the shower. Anyway, I don't think you're a bitch. I just think this is probably not your guy because it sounds like you guys have different sort of values.
Yeah, could you imagine what else? Like, he'd probably be like, I mean, you've been watching that channel for 65% of the time. And you're going to have to pay for more of the cable bill.
Ew,
you know, it's like, go
terrible.
Fuck yourself, guy. Like, yeah. You're going to die a virgin if you keep doing that shit.
I got to say this, like my boyfriend still to this day, he does not like I, at this point I'm like, babe, I'm paying for a dinner. You know, like I feel bad making him pay for everything, but it's like just in his wiring because I don't know if it's like he's a little bit older or whatever it is, but he does not like me to pay for stuff. Like right. I have to force him to let me do it.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think it is something that is a bit ingrained and
yeah,
but I'm also like, if a girl on a date is like, absolutely not, I was the one that suggested we go out, I'm paying.
Yeah.
I think a guy can gracefully be like, you argue it back and forth until someone wins.
Well, I think you go.
I think it's weird to be like,
well, she made
we're
going
to go halvesies on this, right? Halvesies. Like, that's so awkward. Like,
well, it's just like, I mean, are you trying to have sex with her at some point? Because like, that's killing the vibe.
And it's the $35, like, don't date.
Right.
So if you can't afford to date, then don't do it.
Right.
Or go to a place that you can afford to date at.
Go have a coffee.
Go have coffee.
To start for the first date.
How about have a picnic in the park?
Look,
you know what
so
I mean?
Romantic. Like, right? I love that.
There's so many cheap ways to go on dates that are like, you can actually impress somebody by putting some thought into a cheap date.
Right. Like it doesn't have to be this huge extravagant thing.
I guarantee you she didn't say, let's go to some steakhouse.
Right.
You know?
Well, she got a salad, so I hope not.
Right. But he was like, steak in Manhattan's. He was trying to like act like
is
a baller.
Is Manhattan and old fashioned the same thing?
Yeah, basically.
Are they? Are you sure?
Yeah, I prefer.
He's trying to move.
They're
on.
Not exactly the
same. You're trying to move on so fast. He's like, let's go to the next.
They're kind of the same thing, but they're
Are they the same thing or
no,
not?
No, they're not exactly. Okay. But they're both bourbon drinks. You know, they're both very like steakhousey.
Email us if you have any info on that.
I prefer Manhattan over an old. I forget what the difference is.
Interesting. I can't say I stay away from bourbon. Does not do good things for me.
Yeah. Well, time for the
nobody
shower.
Wants to see me on bourbon.
Unless you're looking for a fight.
I mean, that's the right. That's, oh, yeah. I'm just telling you that's the truth. You know I'm feisty. It's the Cajun. It comes out.
Have you ever like been in a physical fight? Like
the clo-
I mean, besides the one I saw you almost
I was
started.
Gonna say, that's probably like, there's probably been other scenarios like that. If I had to guess in my 20s, back in LSU days when we did used to drink whiskey. I mean, that was like my drink of
and
choice.
Cheap and cheap vodka and shit like that.
I didn't drink cheap vodka. I either was like an Arbor Mist girl or...
God.
I'm getting judged so hard right
she,
now.
She like said cheap vodka like with a roll of the eyes and then drop Arbor Mist on us.
I literally, the very first time I ever like got super drunk... I drank an entire bottle of Arbor Mist by myself because there's literally no alcohol. It's like straight sugar. I was probably just like sugar high.
You were just sugar high.
I wasn't even drunk.
Like you weren't hungover. You just like had a case of the sugars the next morning.
Yeah, but like that was just what we would do. I don't know why. It was so gross.
Harbor
so
Mist.
Gross.
We were like Boone's Farm and shit like that.
Oh, I graduated to Boone's Farm, and then like I remember going. This is
Thunderbird.
So
did you ever
up.
Thunderbird?
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, but they probably don't make it anymore for good reason.
We should probably not know.
Yeah.
I in college there was this bar called Bogies at LSU, and it was like my stomping grounds. I would go. This is like two of my best friends and I would go, and we would always dance, and we thought we were so hot. You know, this is like when Britney Spears was so big. So we had all these like sexy dance moves, and I would literally go to the bar and I would order a White Zin. It's so mortifying for me to admit that. It's
do
just,
they put it in a stemmed glass, or do you like have
no,
to drink out
like
of like
a fucking plastic cup? Ugh. I mean, these bars in Louisiana are not fancy. Like this
white
is like college
Zin.
Town. Do you imagine how shitty that White Zin was? And I
was out of a box. It was Franzia for sure.
100%. I would drink four over the course of, like. I remember my boyfriend would always come meet us, and he would be like, "How many White Zins are you in?" Because if I was like two in, it was fine. If I was like four deep, he was like, oh God,
there's going to be a fight.
No fights. That's the whiskey. But yeah, the worst time was probably at Whiskey Row, which unfortunately was not that long ago.
I mean,
listen, guys, this is fucking a therapy, okay? Yeah. Just
she was starting a fight like, with some drunk
whoa,
girl.
Whoa,
that
whoa,
was
whoa,
like,
whoa. That bitch started the fight with me.
she just like sat on our line of the seat.
No, that's not true. You're making me look so stupid because you're dead. Like the reality was, and this is going to make me sound so much
was.
Better. So what had happened was I was dancing on a platform. Yes, in my 30s, stop the judgment. We're acting casual. And this girl showed up after I had been there like an hour, marked my territory easily.
Yeah, you'd peed all over it.
I'd peed all over it. We had our whole crew on it. And that bitch was like, just come. They had so much space, but she just did not want me to cross a certain line.
What did she say, like, is this your purse or something like?
Yeah, she like picked up my stuff. That was where she really crossed the line. And then,
she's
I
about
like
to get cut.
I was like, no. Did you just touch my shit? Like it got escalated.
Security
and
was called.
Security actually was called, which is the worst.
I mean, we just kind of had security.
Let's remember who got kicked out and who didn't. Right. Okay, it wasn't me. If you guys want to know. Anyway, she was in the wrong. A friend of mine got involved. I think poured a drink on someone's head. Like this is so bad. I cannot. My mom is literally probably going to call me tomorrow and be like, "I am so concerned."
We were kind of entitled that night, but whatever.
I was an asshole, and I will always admit when I'm an asshole. I had too much tequila.
Was that the night that your skirt ripped?
No, that was a different night at Whiskey Row. This shit always goes down at Whiskey Row. God, I miss Whiskey Row.
Yeah, me too.
Except now when I go, I look around and I'm like, why are we so old?
Right.
Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about aquatic sex.
Let's talk about aquatic sex.
This one comes from Camden. She said, so I think Camden's a girl, right? It's a K. K-A-M-D-Y-N. What's your guess?
I don't know. That's a really creative
Let's
spelling.
Read. Oh, no, she's definitely a girl. I don't know why I even said that. I should have known that by this email. Okay, here we go. So I've come to accept that it is 2020 and this is my life. I wanted to spice things up during quarantine, so I set up this romantic bath for me and my boyfriend. Straight to the point. We tried to fuck, but we couldn't work out the positions without someone slipping and sliding and risking a broken dick, which he has also had before. And they sound freaky, okay? So we decided to go into the shower. I wanted to keep the lights off because I like the candlelit vibe and I hate my cellulite. Well, here comes the greatness. We tried to fuck again, but between me not being able to see with water getting into my eyes and contacts, I know that struggle. That is such a struggle. They feel like they're dry, but it's like when water hits them, they actually start to feel dry. And him getting cold, if not under the shower head. I mean, these are all real. These are real issues. And him trying to take me from behind and me being 5'8 and him 5'9. It was a logistical fucking nightmare that ended with me slamming my face into the glass, getting a black eye and a bruised lip.
I love Camden.
Oh, my God. Me too. We should probably call her like Brittany. Oh, and we had a brunch with his family the next day. So this was fun to explain. So literally, what the logistical fuck? And please SOS, because I just want to learn how to have aquatic sex and 50 shades up a bit. Help a girl out.
Well,
She sounds fun.
She sounds super fun.
She sounds really fun. We should definitely Zoom her. I want to like chat with her.
The fact that her boyfriend has already had a broken dick.
Yeah, I want that story. So I want to know if like she broke it, like if she was involved in the breakage, or if it was like.
Well,
in
what
a past
an awkward
life.
Story how to have to tell
like,
your.
I can't have you break my dick again.
Yeah, he's like, oh, sorry, babe. It's already been broken. Like it didn't heal properly.
Aquatic sex. Well, I don't know that I've ever had it.
What?
But I think a regular old bathtub is probably a really hard place to try, because it's just not, there's just not enough square footage in it.
Mm.
And a jacuzzi or a swimming pool or something like that,
like
it's a little bit different.
A hot tub. This is like chip stomping grounds.
Yeah, you can do anything in a hot tub.
Oh, especially if you're on a jet ski.
Yeah. You can ride a jet ski on a hot tub.
Okay, I have some things to say about aquatic sex. Okay. It always sounds so much better than it actually ends up being. Like what she described is exactly what happens. It's like, you see it in the movies. They like slam each other against the wall. It's like all wet and it's so hot. And they're like rubbing up against each other. And you just go, oh my God, that looks so fun, right? And you like to switch it up. Like,
yeah.
We talk proactively about like, you got to switch it up. So like, to me, it always seems like a good idea. And it never is a good idea.
You can't. I mean, it's like you're trying to like go down on somebody, you're getting right. a mouthful of water, like
that's tricky, right?
There's
really no, like even in the shower, you're standing there and you try to get a good angle, that doesn't really work. Like it's really not that
the
pleasant.
Water actually probably fucks with like
it,
lubrication.
It does. It, like, I was just about to say
it's like
that.
Oddly dries things out.
Yeah,
I mean, look, when you brought up the aquatic sex thing, like the first thing that popped into my mind was the iconic sex scene from the film
Showgirls.
Showgirls.
The fact that you're going to use...
I almost said striptease, but Showgirls.
The fact that you use the word iconic and Showgirls in the same sentence...
It is one of the most iconic bad films of all time.
Okay, well, right. Iconic bad.
I implore anyone who has not seen Showgirls...
Well, you tell this story, I'm going to get more wine.
Okay. Well, you give me some too.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you have not seen Showgirls, I implore you to watch it. Like... It stars Elizabeth Berkley, who was on Saved by the Bell, and it's so bad good. And there is a sex scene. So if you haven't seen it, I'm going to just sum it up really quickly for you. She's like a girl who's like, I'm moving to Vegas, and she becomes a stripper, basically. Like she thinks she's going to be a dancer. She ends up a stripper. Her name's Nomi Malone.
Oh, my God.
And... I found this article on garage.com that it's like a study of Showgirls, and it says in the first 5 minutes of Showgirls, it came out in 1995, Nomi Malone, played by Elizabeth Berkley, hitchhikes to Vegas, pulls a switchblade, wins big on the slots, loses all her money, is solicited, gets a bouncer fired, loses her suitcase, gets in a fight, vomits, and bonds with a hot seamstress whose trailer she immediately moves into.
Wow,
that all
busy
happens.
Girl.
She hitchhikes to Vegas and the guy like steals her shit.
Sounds super iconic.
So, but there is a sex scene.
I'm laughing
so,
at myself. You didn't even like iconic. Pop a giggle on that.
So she's dancing at this place called the Starlight, and she falls for the entertainment director, who's
as
played by Kyle MacLachlan.
As you do.
And there is a sex scene. And I'm going to read you this paragraph. It says, nausea is a bit of an exaggerated reaction considering how ridiculously funny the nudity and sex is in all its unsexiness. The epitome of the famous underwater sex scene in between with Nomi and Zach. Foreshadowed by a lap dance that she's given him earlier in the film, Nomi goes back to Zach's mansion. She strips totally naked, giggling, and dips into the pool crested with dolphins spouting water.
There's dolphins in the pool?
No, there's like dolphin like...
This is the most Vegas sex scene I've ever heard of.
It says, it starts with an underwater blowjob, some shots lingering on them
beneath an
infinity waterfall. She's like,
I have so many
questions. Sucking
his
dick under an infinity waterfall. And then Nomi shows us her skills, gliding atop of Zach to put on a real show, bumping, grinding, bending all the way backwards. I mean, it is so acrobatic that I think they form like a tidal wave in the pool.
It is
the most
ridiculous.
Like she's riding him and swinging almost in a circle. It is
like a dolphin.
Fucking hysterical. And to think that like anyone looked at the playback of that film and said,
that's a good idea.
Let's move on to the next scene. Like nailed it. Like it is so fucking bad. It's like one of those things that it's like you see that and you're like, I'm never going to film myself having sex, because if that's what it looks like, I'm never going to have sex again.
I'm dying. I have so many thoughts. First of all, an underwater blowjob sounds almost... I mean, it sounds impossible to me. Like, not almost. It sounds actually
You're like drowning and choking at the same time.
How the hell are you breathing? Like, how do you move up and down? How are you not absorbing so much water into every single hole in your body?
It also probably doesn't even feel like a blowjob to the guy.
How does the guy even feel it? Because how can she even get a good grip? You know? I mean, I'm just...
Movie magic, baby.
Listen, this is the wine talking, not me, okay? Yeah. Sorry, Mom.
I think the moral of the story is that aquatic sex is not nearly as sexy as it is.
So here's my tip with that. Also, okay, I did look up, there was an article in self.com because I was like, let me Google some aquatic sex tips because I actually don't know. And all they said was be very careful about the actual body of water you're in, because if you're in like a lake, like that has a lot
you
of...
You get that brain eating
amoeba?
Brain eating amoeba.
Did that rosé get to you?
It did. Damn it.
Yes, you can get an amoeba in your vagina. Let's just talk about
your vagina. What did self say?
Seems like, I mean, they didn't actually talk about brain eating amoebas, but I would assume that they would say be very careful about that. But they did.
Don't go underwater to give a blowjob, because you'll definitely get the brain eating.
100%. They also just were like, be careful of the bacteria. Then they said, if you're in the chlorine, that can also be dangerous. Also, if you're a female, if you're in the water too long, you're definitely getting a yeast infection.
Well, and I talk if you've got something actively, like shoving water deep inside you.
Too many things. So here's my tip. This is what I've decided works for me, because I actually love the idea of it. And like, I'm a huge bath person. I think I've talked about that before. I'm a Cancer. I'm an empath. We need water. You got to chill out. So I take a bath like every night. My favorite thing ever is if my boyfriend gets in with me, and it's a big tub, but like, yes, it can be hot, but like, I cannot actually fully have the rest of sex in the bath. You know, like, to me, that's where the foreplay happens.
Right.
We talk so much about foreplay.
Yeah, that's like the lead up.
Yeah, you like make out, you feel around a little bit.
Yeah, and then you're feet
like
a little.
And then you like slowly go, hey, let's relocate.
That's going to sound so gross. Oh, she's got headphones in, so she gets to hear it.
I got the really creepy whisper right in my ear. Let's move to the bed.
Slip into a place a little more casual.
I have chills. Ain't nothing my face is because I'm looking right at Chip as he whispers, let's slip to a place a little more casual.
I mean, isn't it comfortable? But I said casual for effect.
Because we're acting casual. We're acting too casual today, maybe. I hope the people love this. All right. So anyway, that's our
sex.
Yeah. So Camden, I hope we helped you. You got to quit trying to go the full way in the shower, in the bath. You get it started there. You're clean. So it just gives you freedom once you get somewhere else.
Yeah. I think the shower is a safer place to do it. You can get a little frisky unless you have a big tub that's meant for more than one person.
No, that's what I'm telling you. It's still too slippery.
The standard tub ain't nothing happening in
it. No, that's really awkward. Yeah. Yeah. All right. The next one is... Listen, this is from Ainsley. And like, this is not actually about sex, but it could be about sex as well. So we can talk about it in a couple different ways. And Chip, I don't actually know what you're going to contribute to this conversation.
Okay.
So well, I almost feel like I might be about to solo podcast, which I told you earlier, I hate. How did that go for you, by the way, telling the showgirl story by yourself?
I mean, it's tough.
Did you see what I was talking about?
Because you don't get any reaction.
Right. And so then you're just like, it's like, I need a laugh track or something. Like, you need some sort of...
Can we insert laugh tracks?
Could you imagine I start solo podcasting all the time with a laugh track? Like, how pathetic is that?
Oh my God, I'm dead.
Only for myself. I did a podcast last week, or actually it was this week, and it was on my friend Amy Brown's. She has a Four Things podcast, and then she does a fifth thing, which is like she does these emails, kind of like what we do here on At Casual, except way more G-rated. She literally texted me before and she goes, hey, I love you so much, but I just want to remind you, I don't cuss on my podcast.
You're like, oh, fuck yourself. Yeah.
Go fuck yourself, bitch. No, I'm just kidding. Could you imagine? I love her so much. I would never, ever, ever say that.
Bitch Amy's not here today.
No, so anyway, I totally respect her audience is different than mine. And so I tried to keep it a little more PG, a lot more PG than we do. But I solo podcasted and I feel like it was terrible. I literally was like, oh my God, I never want to do that again. That was the worst thing I've ever experienced.
Did you, the beauty in solo podcasting though, is you can edit.
Well, I didn't have the time. Well, right. Literally, it was like a night before thing. She was like, hey, do you mind hopping on and answering some questions? Which typically I would be like, yeah, because like you and I do that shit so easy. But like, it was just different.
Yeah.
It was so, because I'm just talking to myself and then I'm like.
You like don't know if you've talked too much or not enough.
Well, it's like, you know how you and I can have the silence and then I'll call you out for that? I was just like silent.
You're like, damn it.
And then no one would laugh. Right. We couldn't
That's
make a
joke.
That's
when you need the laugh track.
Right, I needed that laugh track. Yeah, you need that laugh track. To be like, oh, right, haha, I'm podcasting. Anyway, if you guys want to go check it out and tell me how terrible it is, it's on the Amy Brown, or right, it's a Four Things podcast with Amy Brown. She's amazing. Okay, anyway, let's back to Ainsley. Kelly and Chip love to talk about sex and relationships, but here's a topic to switch it up, normalizing the period. I'm tired of periods and everything related being a taboo topic. People openly talk about being sore from the gym. Such an interesting comparison to me. Why do I have to hide that I am cramping from my period? People openly grab their cigarettes to go for a smoke. Why do I have to stealth grab my tampon? I mean, it's not wrong. Please disregard food stains. Oh, people disregard food stains on people's shirts. Why do I have to check my butt for leaks every 5 seconds?
God, that's a lot.
It's a lot. I'm not promoting people talking about periods 24/7 and bleeding all over the place. I'm just talking about acting casual because it is a normal human function. And quite frankly, I call BS on having to suck it up because it feels like your insides are being ripped apart. Yeah, the last place you want to be is at work or wherever you feel bloated like a whale. The last thing you want to be wearing is a bodycon dress for a date night. These are very valid points. And lastly, I am all for petitioning for women to have one period day a month. Use it or lose it. It's up to you. And do not even come at me with gender discrimination because in this case, you can take it up with Mother Nature. Anyway, love y'all to the stars and back. Thanks.
I love her.
Love her too. You guys are so fun. Thanks for writing in.
Look, I mean, obviously don't have a period, so it's hard for me to relate. Mm-hmm. But I also, it's interesting because I feel like when you're young, the first time that like a lot of girls or guys experience someone having a period,
yeah,
there is like this like, ew, gross, like totally. So-and-so starting her period. Or like, I can remember like Wayne fingered Lori at the movies when we were in fifth grade or something and like she was on her period. So it was like,
how'd that go
and it was like
Wayne?
A gross thing, you know, like yeah. Everyone's like, ew, gross. And so I think there's something that's like very early on when you start to learn about it, that it's this like taboo thing, just like pooping. Like,
yeah, a little
if
bit.
I wouldn't think twice about like being like, oh, I got to pee. I would never be at this table and be like, be right back. Got to poop.
BRB.
But like, why? Why? We all do it.
Actually, I do feel like you would say that to me.
I don't know. I'd probably lie and say I was going to pee.
And really? Then, yeah. And I'd be like, what were you doing in there?
Yeah. I'd be like, I peed really long.
I'd really been holding it in. Yeah. It's so hard because actually she makes really great points. I feel, and like the truth is for us, I mean, you feel like shit, especially those first days. I'm like, how is this possible that I feel like I have the flu and I have to go to work? And like, if a dude felt like this, like it does turn me into this like gender person, because I'm like, if a dude felt like this, there's no fucking chance he would live his life normally, because if a guy has a cold, they stay home, totally. You know? And we deal with this every month. Like, do you guys think it's fun for us to bleed out of our body for 7 days straight? And like, it's not fun. You feel terrible.
There's Michelle Wolf, who's one of my favorite comedians, has a bit about
periods.
And like, basically it's like, she says like women should be able to like have time off of work for
100%.
And she basically, I'm going to sort of butcher her joke, but she's like, women, we got to stop being so cute about our periods. Like,
that's a good point.
She's like, you can't be like, oh, Aunt Flo's in town. Like, it's got to be like, I am bleeding through a gash in my body. Like, if there were any other gash that you were bleeding out of, your boss would be like, don't
go home.
Go home.
You're like, I'm bleeding out of this gash. I'm going to shove a plastic thing that's going to shove a cotton thing up there to absorb it while I sit here feeling like shit. My back is aching. My stomach is aching. I have a headache. My whole body is aching. I'm emotional. Like, I could cry at the drop of a hat. But hey, how's your day? What can we talk about for you today?
Like, when can we go over that report that was due today?
I'm like, let me help you some more.
Yeah. And no, I think it's a really interesting point. And I do think it should be normalized because it's like, it is nature.
Well, she said
the gift of life comes from that.
I mean, that's the truth. Yeah. It's also like a lot of people would be like, that's Eve's curse right there if you believe in the Bible or whatever. But it is, it's our bodies. Our bodies are amazing. Like women's bodies specifically with creating a whole human, like that's insane. And so the period is a part of that. And it's unfortunate for us, but I do feel like we are forced to kind of suck it up a lot. And it's like, yeah, get the fuck over it. Here's my tampon. Okay. Yeah. Like I'm walking to the bathroom cause I'm on my goddamn period. All right.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I do feel like that. I will say, she said it doesn't have to do with sex and relationships, but like period sex is a thing. Did you know about that?
Are people like into it?
I think people can be. And I mean like I've never had a guy like this is actually true for all my boyfriends. I was gonna say my boyfriend now, but like I think this is true. There's not been a thing of like no sex for a week because you're on your period. Like it's just like different for me personally. It's not as enjoyable.
Is it because like you feel like you're staying in the sheets and stuff, or
I get really well because like it can be messy at the beginning of your period. Like by the end, you don't care.
Right.
But like there's a couple things. First of all, like
on a heavy flow day, you're like, ain't nothing going in there but a tampon.
Well, unfortunately, that's just not true. But like I don't know what that says about me, but it's just like a massacre.
You're like, get out the plastic sheets, honey. we're doing it.
If we're talking about normalizing periods, let me tell you guys some things. But yeah, like it's just the truth. I'm always like, get a towel. Like you gotta lay a towel down. And then it's often like I end up on top in those scenarios, but I can't fully relax or get into it because I look down and I'm like, oh my God.
Well,
it's
I mean
everywhere.
But think about it, like straight sex during period time is a finite amount of time during a month. Gay sex always involves a butt.
That's true.
You know what I mean? It's
like,
technically, that's a pretty gross thing to get involved
well, a lot
in, too.
Of
if, especially
could, like,
if somebody's not, yeah, if someone's mm-hmm. not prepared for that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, there's often towels involved in that, too.
So
just
you're
in
used
case.
To, so yeah, you can actually contribute.
So it's, yeah, it's funny to think that like people would be like, ew, gross, you're bleeding.
Well,
like,
a lot of dudes, because like they're not used to it, or like I've noticed my boyfriends that have had all brothers are more kind of like, ooh, what?
Ew.
They get over it because they're like, well, I don't want to not have sex for 7 days.
Right.
You know, for me, it's not as enjoyable, one, because I'm paranoid about getting shit everywhere. And that's what I start thinking about. And then you go, oh God, is he going to get grossed out when he looks down and he sees all this massacre. And then also like the thing we talk about,
like I murdered that pussy.
Yeah, literally. yeah, but like, and then the other thing is like we talk about the foreplay. There's not a lot of that can happen when you're on your period, because ain't no chance no any guy's going down on you when you are on your period.
Right.
When Aunt flows.
Unless they
down,
like
as
unless they're a vampire.
When
unless you're dating Rob Pattinson. Well,
and then you have other concerns. So I'm with Ainsley. Like, let's normalize it a little bit. Help the girls out, man. This is once a month we have to deal with this
yeah.
shit.
Honestly, it's like you should kind of be put on a pedestal.
I appreciate you saying that, Chip.
It's true. Like,
thank you.
You know, there's plenty of things that, like, if I were like, I'm going to be like a straight dude for a minute. Like if I was like out fucking playing football with my bros and like broke my wrist,
mm-hmm.
I would be able to call into work and be like, I broke my wrist. I'm not coming in today.
Right.
And no one would be like, well, how'd you break your wrist? Oh, that was a choice. You need to come into work today or you're fired. They'd be right. like, no, stay home. You broke your fucking wrist.
Yeah.
And that was all because of something that I chose to do.
Right.
You know,
flag football as an adult.
I'm hereby granting every woman in America.
Did you just declare period day?
Period week.
Period week.
Week.
Oh wow!
Just get your job done from home.
I mean, God, I love. Maybe COVID will open us up to make that more acceptable. And now that you've officially said it on the At Casual podcast, I was about to say the Velvet's Edge, the At Casual podcast. I feel like we have a better chance.
Yeah.
Is this the next thing we're protesting for?
I mean, you guys, let's start a change.org petition.
Oh my God. What do we call this? Hashtag period week?
No, it's called at casual dot dot dot. I got my period.
At casual, guys. Free the period.
Free the period.
Free the that's our next merch.
Like, you know, like the free, like what was that whole thing when like people wanted to be topless? Like free the tits?
Free the tits.
Free
the titties. Free the titties.
Free titties. Something like that. This is like
free the period.
Free the period.
TM. I'm calling it right here. It's,
and
it's
we should also
noted.
Celebrate menopause while we're at it, because then it's like then you got to work longer.
Do you guys?
We should be giving you raises when you get menopause because then you're working seven more days a month.
Did you just hear yourself with all the physical things that we have to deal with? So you have a period every month, probably from the age of like, I mean, I got mine at 12, which is actually kind of late, but like. From the age of 12, I've been dealing with this for every fucking month of my life. Then, I mean, I haven't had this issue, but like if you birth a child, you have to go through 9 to 10 months of being pregnant. Then it's not like your body just like bounces right. back. Then the second you get out of that shit, you go to menopause. It's
what
like,
about
what?
The cost of tampons and pads?
No shit. It's expensive to be a girl. I'll tell you that much.
You know, like you can go to a clinic and get free condoms.
Why
you
is
go
our
somewhere
insurance,
and get free? Can
no,
you get free tampons
it
anywhere?
It should be. Insurance should cover tampons. That's another thing. You know what? We're about to start a riot.
Yeah, I think that's like, I mean, because what are your options? What is the free option for a pad or a tampon?
Nothing.
Like,
you got to figure out how to pay for that shit.
Yeah.
The free option would be take some toilet paper and wad it up in your underwear, which every girl has had to do at some point
when you're out
and you get your period randomly and you're like, ugh. And you happen to be wearing white pants that day, of course, because you never wear white pants, but you're always
or
wearing
skirt,
white pants.
Or skirt, no panties. Oh, but then what do? You just got to go home.
Yeah, you got to go. You better go.
I have a friend who was at a, she was at a wedding with no underwear on.
And got her period.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the chair?
She was in a church pew.
That's even
and she
worse.
She felt it run down her leg,
oh,
and she had to use
no.
the leg.
I've had the leg sitch happen.
What do you call that at a wedding? Like the pamphlet that you get? With
you're not talking into the mic, so the people
whatever.
Have no idea. Whatever. We're just doing a podcast.
The pamphlet
bitch.
That you get at a the bulletin, that's at church.
She took, what'd she do
she
with
used
that?
It scraped it back up her leg
oh,
and excused herself.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Did she leave?
Yeah. She didn't. She went.
That's
back to
the
hotel.
Moment when you find a best friend in the bathroom with a girl you've never met and you're like,
no,
literally.
This was mid ceremony.
Well, when you're at a bar, if you get your period and you yell out, does anyone have a tampon? That girl that gives you that tampon and saves your life, like your night, is your new best friend.
New best friend.
100%. I've made many friends that way. I'm telling you, it's a
maybe
thing.
We need to start like a free tampon situation.
I'm saying, what if I called my insurance tomorrow and I was like, listen, I've been thinking about this and I really am. Do you guys offer any sort of like kickback or like, you know how you, when you go get prescriptions, you get a discounted rate?
You can get discounted rates at the gym from your insurance.
Yeah, they should do that for tampons. And if they don't, they should go out of business.
Yeah. We should change insurance.
Yeah. I mean, they should be boycotted by women. This is a new movement.
Well, maybe we need to start a women's only insurance company.
Oh my God. We're like really creative right now. Wine makes
it's
us
like,
really
what's
creative.
What's that? It's something Liberty Mutual, Liberty Casual.
Oh my God.
Liberty, Liberty, Liberty.
Why
casual.
Liberty? What does Liberty have to do with
I don't
anything?
Know. Liberty Mutual is
period,
the name
period,
of it.
Period, period, period. Casual. I don't know. Female.
We'll give
casual.
Away free tampons. Let us know.
My
if...
company would totally give away free tampons to any woman who needs them.
Do, like I'm curious, like at companies, like all these tech companies that you see where they have like cereal and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have tampons? Free tampons, I wonder.
Cereal.
Well, you know, like
what's
Twitter, like all
got
those.
To do with this?
Well, all those big tech
the
companies,
bathrooms.
Like they have like.
Well, I'll tell you, fancy places do. Yes, I'm sure in those tech companies. Yes.
Yeah.
Places with money.
Right.
You know, like. I was about to sound too bougie. I'll stop. like I was gonna say, like
actually, I bet we have them at Red Light.
Yeah, I was gonna say nice companies like that, or if you go to like a nice airport, you know, like things like that. There's always. A situation set up.
Nice.
You I know, that's why I stopped myself. like these, I'm not paying for the planes, people.
Right.
Not paying for the planes. That's why I didn't know how to back out of it.
Yeah, because okay. I've been to some nice airports.
You've been to LAX. Yeah,
I've been to LA. Like, I've been to some nice airports. Like tampons everywhere in LAX.
Busted. Okay. Call me out. Damn it. I really backed myself into a corner on that. If I was paying for the plane.
What are they going to call this episode?
No, I don't even know. Period.
Free tampons. Free tampons.
Okay, we got to move on to our last email. This is getting way too long.
Okay.
The people are like, damn it, I've been sitting in my work parking lot for 30 minutes now, you asshole.
They're like, I just finished my period at the beginning of the episode, and I've started it again by the end because it's been so long.
Okay, actually, this one is even better than the rest of them because I opened our inbox after I had prepped for this episode, and we had a new email, and I was like, oh, this is the best week ever. Literally, you guys came in through so solid.
came in hot
with emails. So this one comes from Billy with an IE, which makes me believe that Billy is a girl. Oh yes, she is actually, because I already read this email. This was a tough one, I'm not gonna lie. Are you ready for it?
Yep, I'm ready.
I need your full attention. Mm-hmm. Hey Kelly, I've been listening to your podcast for a while now and I need some advice. Where do I even start? 10 years ago I got a divorce after 21 years of marriage. I imagine that was very difficult. Soon after, I met a man that was everything I never knew I wanted. I'll call him Tony. I came from a marriage where we hadn't had sex in years and Tony oozed sexuality. I was the person who took care of everything in our marriage, kids, house, flat tires, mowing the lawn. And in the last year, I was the one who provided for our family of five. Wow. That's a lot of pressure.
She was married to a loser, it sounds like.
Sounds like that same guy that went on the date and asked to split the check. He's out on the prowl again.
If a guy ever asks you to pay on the first date, you're going to end up mowing the lawn.
Yeah, you don't want to do that, ladies. Okay. Tony was a man's man. He ran a business. He was everything my husband wasn't. He introduced me to things sexually I never knew about, and then suddenly felt familiar. I felt like he was someone I was supposed to know my whole life in another life. The problem is, he's married. I know, she says. I know, exclamation point. It's shitty and I am a trash human, but I literally cannot help how I feel with him, how he makes me feel. 10 years of waiting on this man and I cannot make myself give up the thought that when the time is right, we will be together. We even tried to end it. At one point, his wife found out about us. I told him to try and work on his marriage, but we always end up gravitating back to each other. And even now, we don't really have a sexual relationship. It's the conversations. Once a week, morning coffees dropped off to him at work. I'm not bad about him not leaving his family. Yes, he has a child at home, but it is also hard because I love him so much, more than I ever have known was possible. What do I do? Do you believe that people are meant to be together despite circumstances? Please help me, Billy.
Interesting. I like that her name's Billy.
Do you? You know, like when, this is such a tangent. When we used to go out when I was younger, my roommate at the time, but also my best friend from high school, we moved up to Nashville together and we would go out and like we used to use fake names.
You were Billy?
No, she was Billy. I was like, I would try to be all cute and the guys, it would be guys that we didn't want to talk to and they'd be like, oh, what's your name? And I'd be like, Sophie, because I thought that was like a really cute name. And she would come in and she'd be like, they'd be like, what's your name? And she'd go, Billy.
Billy. Is this one B-I-L-L-I-E?
Yes, it is. So anyway, that's all I could think of. I was literally like, am I being punked? Is this Caitlin actually?
That's so amazing.
Yeah.
Well, everything was going great till she said he was married. But she's not having sex with him now?
So it's she has for 10 years.
Right, but it's an emotional thing.
Mm-hmm. Didn't we have a similar, what was the one that we were like, you got to stop? You just got to stop.
I mean, look, technically, he's the one that needs to stop.
But you can't control other people.
Right. So, I mean, she is the other woman in this situation, but she's not cheating on anybody.
Right.
That's up for, you know, that's something that she has to deal with. Mm-hmm. But the only one who's truly doing something wrong here is Billy, whatever his name is. I mean,
you don't think that she's like, her name, she calls him Tony.
Tony.
But the thing is she knows he has kids and a family, and he's also not leaving. And this always, for me, goes back to the like, hey, where is your self-respect?
Like that's a good point.
We have to have respect enough for ourselves to know we deserve more than to be the other woman.
Right. But she might be getting more out of this than she was getting out of her own marriage,
through an emotional
connection, you know? And it sounds like that was pretty lacking in her marriage. I don't know. It's a tough one because...
Why is he not leaving, though?
Right.
I mean, like, I guess...
Kids complicate a lot of stuff.
Oh, listen. Kids and divorce makes me so sad. Breaking up a family is really, honestly, one of the hardest things I can imagine. And we've witnessed now a couple of our friends go through it. And it's never easy. And it doesn't really get easier. Because even once the divorce is over, it's like... There's so many logistics that are difficult. I am dating a man who was married before, right? And it's super complicated. Yeah. I mean, it is completely a lot. And I actually don't recommend it. I mean, it's hard. I think it's like, it's not ideal for anyone. It's not like anyone gets married thinking they're going to get divorced either. So it's like, I don't think they would recommend it, you know, but it just is what it is. And you deal with the cards you're dealt. But I don't know. When I'm reading this, I just think about Billy and I just think like, I get it where you're like, oh, I have this connection with this person. I have all of these things in common. We have this, it just sounds like they have a lot of chemistry. I just can't wrap my mind around Tony being the only person that she could have that chemistry with. The world is huge. Like,
I think you're right. I think she needs to look at this as an example of
what's out
there. There are better situations than what she had in her marriage.
Mm-hmm.
This is a step in the right direction. Like,
well, she saw that she can feel certain things. She didn't even know.
So she needs to find an available man that can make her feel this way.
Right. I have this mentor.
Which is tough when you have a guy who's making you feel the way you want to feel.
Of course. And it's so hard to let go of what's comfortable, you know? And so it sounds like they've been doing this for a long time.
Well, and an ultimatum might make him actually make up his mind.
Well, I think she's torn between, you don't want to break up a family. That's a tough spot to be in.
Well, that's, yeah.
I can't imagine because...
That's on him.
Well, I agree with that. But I also can't imagine walking into a situation where there's kids involved and you were the other woman. And then all of a sudden you're like dating their dad. What that dynamic would be.
That's
true. It's already hard enough to navigate the relationship with the kids without that dynamic.
Yeah.
So to know that you were responsible for like... God, that would just be tough. But yeah, I just think like
maybe they hate their mom.
I mean, okay, well, you took this dark. You're acting too casual. I have this mentor who says to me, like in situations where maybe I have been in a relationship where I'm like, but I love this and this about him. And she's like, but you also say you hate this and this and this and this. And like, those are bad for you. And they're bringing out the worst sides of you. And so she always encouraged me to write down the positive attributes that I loved so much that I was having such a hard time letting go of. And know, like, you start manifesting that and know that there is someone out there who has those same qualities that maybe isn't married or doesn't have all the baggage that sounds like Tony, or whatever we're calling him, has. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no. I mean, I think it was like this relationship with Tony is an example of what is possible.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah. So Billy, take this relationship and maybe look at it as a positive in your life in the fact that it showed you what you want in a man, except that you probably just don't want that man to be married.
Right. Well, and look, if you make the call and you walk away and later in life he decides that he cannot live without you and he blows his marriage up and comes for you and you're single, then maybe it works out. And I think that sort of absolves you a little bit of like, there is a break, you know, mm-hmm. the concept of like being the other woman and then suddenly you're dating the kid's dad after, you know, a split. Maybe that makes that a little bit better. I don't know. It's all messy.
Super messy. But what's that quote where it's like, if it's meant for you, it will always come back? Do you know what I'm talking about? Where it's like the things that are meant for you and your life, if you let them go and then they come back, like they were actually meant for you.
Right.
But if you let them go and they don't, there's a better plan.
Totally.
But I mean, we're sitting here. This is easy for us to go, oh, Billy, like, stop. Like, I completely get when you're in this situation. It's always so much more difficult. And there's so many layers that we don't experience on the daily like she does. And so it's definitely a grieving process and super hard. But
totally. But I also just think it's, and I guess I'm flipping positions a little bit. Like, it's probably important for her to remember there was probably a time in her life when she thought that she couldn't live without the husband that she left.
Yeah, absolutely. And now she's looking back.
Like, and now I got she's nothing. Like, that's like a that thing.
Yeah.
And so I think you have to take the steps to find your full happiness.
Yeah. I think my biggest thing I always want, except all women and all men, is just to be like, you deserve the things that make you happy, and you deserve the things, just like know your worth kind of deal. And so like, I feel like Billy, I don't even know you, but you probably deserve a man who can be completely available to you.
She sounds like an awesome fucking person. Like the way she took care of her family.
Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, Billy, Godspeed
to
you.
That's a complicated one.
It's super complicated. Keep us posted on what you do. Thank you guys again so much for these emails this week. I really loved it. So keep them coming. It's @casual@velvetsedge.com. You can also slide into my DMs @velvetsedge on Instagram, or chips@chipdorsch on Instagram. Do you want to spell that for the peeps?
It's chipdorsch.
Why do you get sexual when you say
Well, because people think I say FCH.
Well, your first name is
C-H-I-P.
Frank.
My first name is Frank.
I loved when we got our COVID test and they were like, Frank, when they called you back. I'm like, of course.
They did spell my last name wrong, but that was Ruben's fault, I think.
We'll throw somebody under the bus. Why don't you? Sorry, Rubes. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Chip, I cannot wait to celebrate you this weekend. Oh my God.